Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Before we begin, we want our listeners to know that today's episode includes discussions of child abduction, sexual violence, and murder. Some of the details are deeply disturbing, so please take care of yourself while listening. On February 13th, 2009, 14-year-old Amber Dubois woke up in Escondido, California to get ready for school. She was excited. It was the last day to submit her deposit for a lamb that she would raise through her school's agricultural program. Amber had a huge love for animals ever since she was a little girl. Her mom, Carrie, stopped in to say goodbye before heading to work, and they even made plans to go see a movie that Friday evening. There was nothing unusual. They both said, "I love you," as they usually do, and her mom left, driving to work, not even suspecting anything wrong would happen. But something very unsettling would happen during the moments that Amber stepped out of her house and headed to school by foot. Amber's walk to Escondido High School usually would take no more than 10 to 15 minutes. So you may be thinking, that's a decent walk, right? Someone had to have seen her while she was on her way to school. And it's true, she was last seen by two separate people along her usual route sometime before 7 a.m. One of them was a mother driving her own daughter to school. She stopped her car because it was raining and she was thinking to pick up Amber, but her daughter noticed Amber talking to a boy, so the girl said, "She's talking to someone, let's just go." But Amber never made it to school. She never came home. So who is this boy she was talking to? Now, Ricky's going to tell us a little about the family dynamic, just so you can get a clear understanding of their living situation.
Okay, so just to lay things out, Carrie is Amber's mom. At the time, she was living with her partner, Dave Cave. He's often referred to as Amber's stepdad. Dave was the first one to get home from work that day, and right away, he thought it was strange that Amber wasn't back from school yet. Also living in the house was Amber's younger half-sister, Allison, who was about 7 at the time. Now, even though Carrie was Amber's primary guardian, her biological dad, Mo, was still very much a part of her life. He lived in LA, worked as an electrical engineer, and even though him and Carrie were divorced, he stayed involved. Mo described Amber as a total sweetheart. He said she'd joke around with him, especially about his receding hairline.
Right, so like a normal childhood, really. And like you said, Dave noticed something was off right away. Maybe he thought Amber had an appointment or something, but it just didn't sit right. Around 4 p.m., Dave realized she still wasn't home and so decided to call Carrie, who was still at work. Carrie immediately tried calling Amber's cell phone. There was no answer. Then Dave mentioned she hadn't shown up at school at all. And that's when the real panic started. Carrie knew something was wrong. This wasn't like Amber. She wouldn't have ditched school, and she definitely wouldn't have ignored phone calls. And by this point, hours had passed since Carrie left for work that morning. And Amber had never even made it to school? I mean, that's horrifying.
Yeah, that's seriously terrifying. And you could just imagine the dread setting in. And by the time police actually got involved, it was already late in the evening. They searched the school, brought in canine units, and even checked nearby rural areas. But there was nothing. No sign of Amber at all.
And the police did what they could do to follow protocol, but there were roadblocks for sure.
For example, an Amber Alert couldn't be issued because there wasn't a confirmed vehicle or abduction. That policy decision alone delayed the public's awareness.
Yeah, even if she was believed to be in school, no one ever saw her, including her friends and teachers, inside the building. California law requires a known abduction and vehicle description, and they didn't have that. Carrie asked the officer if they could issue one anyway. He said no. There were no signs of kidnapping, at least none that met the technical requirements.
And this is where it gets frustrating, especially as a parent, because you're in a state of mind where everything and anything has to be done. After all, a mom did see her walking with a boy. Could someone else have seen this? And maybe they knew who this guy was, or maybe they saw a strange vehicle, you know? One thing could have led to another. It would be absolutely frustrating as a parent. It would feel like your hands are tied. Regardless of this, the investigation ramped up fast. Officers, they canvassed the area. They brought in canine units and searched the riverbed behind the school. They combed through Amber's room, checked her text messages, her internet history. And what they found was this girl loved animals. She loved reading and dreamed of being a marine biologist. She had no history of running away, no secret boyfriend, no indication she planned to vanish. Just an innocent 17-year-old young girl who was excited to go to school that day. From the very beginning, Carrie knew her daughter had been abducted. There was no doubt in her mind. And she did everything she could to keep Amber's face and name in the public eye. Flyers went up everywhere, posters in store windows, bumper stickers, billboards. If you lived in or near Escondido, you knew Amber's name. And over time, more than 1,500 tips came in, along with over 500 reported sightings.
That's a massive response. But it also shows just how overwhelming these investigations can become. And yet, you can't afford to ignore any of them.
Exactly. And some tips even contradicted each other. People said they saw Amber downtown, while others claimed she was in the hills near an area called the Caves. Police checked every lead, but nothing was ever confirmed. Meanwhile, Carrie was trying to stay strong. She wasn't just hoping for Amber's return. She was actively organizing. Volunteers set up a motorhome at a nearby church to serve as a makeshift command post. People came to this search. Others brought food. It became a community effort.
Honestly, it's heartbreaking because while that search was happening, there were still so many unanswered questions back home, especially around Amber's stepdad, Dave Cave.
Yeah, and as is typical in an investigation early on, investigators, they focus in on people closest to the victim. And Dave's behavior, it raised eyebrows, not just with the police, but with Carrie too. Dave's story about the day Amber disappeared was full of inconsistencies. He couldn't remember where he went after the gym. First, he said that he went to a movie. Then he said he stopped by Carrie's work. His timeline just kept changing. It felt off. Even Carrie confronted him, saying, "If I were them, I would arrest you right now."
Exactly. And there was tension in the house before Amber vanished, too. Dave didn't like how much time she spent reading alone in her room with the door shut. It wasn't anything criminal, but the dynamics were strained, and that made him a focus on the investigation. He was brought in for multiple polygraph tests, even one by the FBI, and the results? Inconclusive, which only added to the suspicion, though nothing solid tied him to Amber's disappearance.
So even with no physical evidence against him, he remained under the microscope. But Carrie said from day one, this wasn't someone Amber knew. This was a complete stranger. Now, in this next part, we are going to dive into how the case grew cold until the disappearance of another girl would break everything wide open. But first, we have a quick message from a sponsor for this show. You know what definitely wasn't on my summer bucket list? Getting blindsided by our wireless bill. I mean, we were planning a beach trip, family barbecues, maybe even a little weekend getaway. And then boom, $200 just to keep our phones running? No thanks.
I mean, that was like my last straw. Why are we paying so much for basic phone service when we literally never use that much data?
So we made the switch to Mint Mobile. And honestly, it's one of the easiest, smartest changes we've made. Plans start at just $15 a month. And I'm not talking some off-brand service. This is premium wireless on the nation's largest 5G network.
Honestly, I was pretty worried at first. I was like, will this coverage even be good? But it's actually just as fast and reliable as our old provider. I didn't even have to change phones. We kept our numbers, our contacts, everything.
And now, instead of stressing about surprise overages or mystery charges, we're chillin', literally and financially. It's one less thing to worry about, and we've saved hundreds already.
So if you're tired of getting roasted by your wireless bill, trust us. We use this, and you should too.
This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/crimesalad. That's mintmobile.com/crimesalad.
Upfront payment of $45 and 3 months 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for the first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Despite all of the media coverage, the hundreds of interviews, and public support, Amber had seemingly vanished without a trace. Police had ruled out her family. They interviewed over 500 people and even checked in with 148 registered sex offenders in the area. None of them were linked to her disappearance. It was as if she simply disappeared.
Which is most likely every parent's worst nightmare. That lack of closure. That waiting. You start hoping for something, anything, just to get answers. Carrie never gave up. She created walkathons, mailed flyers, brought in dog teams, even consulted psychics. But a full year after Amber vanished, she was still at square one. And then it all happened again. On February 25th, 2010, just over a year after Amber went missing, a 17-year-old straight-A student, an avid runner named Chelsea King, went for a jog at Rancho Bernardo Community Park and never came back. So what would be your first thought? You find her car in a parking lot. It's locked, with her phone and her belongings inside.
I mean, first thought, I'd think, this isn't a runaway. I mean, she was expecting to come back to her car at some point.
Right. So the San Diego Sheriff's Department, they immediately escalated the search. They knew this wasn't a simple case of a runaway teen. Something terrible had happened. And Carrie, Amber's mom, got a phone call. A volunteer in her circle told her another girl had gone missing.
And that's when Carrie's mind jumped to the unthinkable. Is this a serial predator?
The search for Chelsea intensified quickly. Now, mysteriously, there was this heavy rain around this time. Everything was wet and sloshy. The search continued anyway. Neighbors joined in. After the heavy rain, a dog walker along a wooded dirt trail found dry socks and underwear right in the middle of the path, despite the heavy rain. And her family confirmed it did look like Chelsea's. Behind the scenes, investigators were quietly holding back information about potential blood evidence on those items. They didn't want to spook the suspect. They were hoping she was still alive. And for a few days, that hope kept everyone going. But then came the break in the case. DNA from those items led to a name that was found in this system. A man who was a registered sex offender, who had served prison time for assaulting a 13-year-old girl years earlier. John Albert Gardner III. He violated parole hundreds of times, and somehow he was still free.
And on top of that, I read that he was even evaluated by psychologists who warned that he would attack again. And yet, he slipped through the cracks.
It was devastating. And police, they raced to locate him, and they found him. He was arrested in the same proximity where Chelsea went missing by a restaurant. But she wasn't with him. And this is when the task force kicked into high gear. They knew Chelsea's time was running out if she was even still alive. Once John Gardner was in custody, the clock was ticking. Detectives knew that they needed to move fast. Gardner had a known history of violence. If Chelsea King was still alive, they had to find her immediately. But Gardner wasn't talking. He lawyered up right away, and legally, investigators couldn't question him without an attorney present.
And this is where the team had to get creative and move fast. Because the media already had wind of Gardner's arrest. If his face got on TV before they had a solid eyewitness or confession, it could jeopardize everything.
Exactly. Now, one of his previous victims, who had been assaulted at the same park but survived, was actually living in Colorado at the time of Amber's murder. Back then, nothing ever came from her case. However, with the possibility that the same man was responsible, detectives quickly flew her into view, a 6-photo lineup before his face appeared in the news. They were concerned that the media coverage could influence her memory or cause others to question the reliability of her identification. And can you believe it? She picked him out immediately. 20 minutes later, his mugshot was everywhere in the news.
Seriously, that's a race against time. But they still didn't have Chelsea, the victim who went missing while she was running.
That is until March 2nd of 2010. That's the day Chelsea's body was discovered near the waterline at Lake Hodges. It was one of the dive teams searching the shoreline who saw what looked like hair in the sand. And when they got closer, they found her shallow grave. The community was completely devastated. Carrie, Amber's mom, said her heart broke for the King family. But her pain also deepened. It had been 13 months since Amber vanished, and she still had no answers.
And now the question on everybody's mind was, could John Gardner be connected to Amber too?
Now, it's interesting that you say that, because when he sat with the police, he actually said, oh, I'm sure you guys will try to pin me on that Amber girl too.
Suspicious.
And a side note, Carrie was wondering the same thing. But Gardner, he previously claimed that he was at work the day Amber went missing. They actually questioned him back in 2009 when Amber first went missing because they reviewed all the registered sex offenders in the area, and he gave them an alibi. That alibi was now under serious scrutiny. Behind the scenes, the DA was preparing to charge Gardner with Chelsea King's murder, but there was still no body in Amber's case. That meant it would be almost impossible to pursue charges for her murder unless Gardner talked.
And that's where a deal came in. As much as it would have hurt, especially for the Kings, they foregoed the death penalty if Gardner would confess to Amber's murder and show the police where to find the body.
And so on March 6th of 2010, Gardner quietly led detectives to a remote brush-covered hillside off Paula Temecula Road. He pointed to a faint shovel mark. That's where they dug, and that's where they found Amber's remains. The area was hard to reach. It was cold, foggy, and nearly invisible from the road. It was also a scary situation for the detectives walking next to a known killer as he confessed to the murder of Chelsea. Any moment, he could run off by foot. But he didn't. He knew it was game over for him. Forensic teams worked through the night. And after more than a year of not knowing, Carrie finally had her daughter back. When Amber's remains were officially identified, Carrie and her family were called into the Escondido Police Department. It was late, quiet, and they were told gently, Amber had been found. Dental records confirmed the remains they uncovered were in fact Amber's. Carrie later said that she couldn't even recall how she reacted. It was such a blur. But she remembers asking, are you sure it's her? And the answer was yes.
It's a moment that no parent should have to live through.
Yeah, and what's even harder is that police couldn't tell the family that it was John Gardner who led them to her. That detail had to stay secret, at least until they could build the case without that confession being used in court. And this is because of the deal Gardner's lawyers had arranged. He would lead police to Amber's body only if it couldn't be used against him later in court. But even without that piece, prosecutors now had a clear path. Gardner pled guilty to three crimes: the rape and murder of Amber Dubois, the rape and murder of Chelsea King, and the attempted assault on a woman who had survived an attack at the same park. As part of the plea deal, Gardner received life in prison without parole, no chance of appeal, and no more media appearances. He would never be free again.
It wasn't the death penalty, but it was final. And for both families, it brought a small but meaningful measure of justice for their daughters.
Yep. And especially for Carrie, who had spent more than a year living in agonizing uncertainty, not knowing what happened to her daughter, not knowing if her daughter was suffering or scared somewhere. I mean, that kind of waiting, it breaks a mother. She missed work, and she most likely carried this unbearable weight of guilt that many parents would feel in this situation, even though it wasn't her fault at all that this happened. And all the while, she tried to hold on to hope while silently preparing for the worst. Her life had been overtaken by that void, by that cruel, unanswered question of why. And now, with the truth laid bare, came the unbearable confirmation. Her daughter had been murdered. The pain didn't end, but it changed. Day after day of not knowing was over. And in its place was a different kind of grief, one that was final, one that could no longer be outrun. And Carrie later said something powerful. Without Amber, there is no Chelsea. And without Chelsea, there is no Amber. Because it was Chelsea's disappearance that exposed Gardner's true nature. And it was that exposure that ultimately led to Amber's body. There is a tree on the side of Pala Temecula Road, the one near where Amber's body was found buried. For over a decade now, people have went there, they decorated it, left gifts. It became this memorial, a reminder, and a symbol of how Amber's story still touches lives. Carrie knows in her heart Amber would have went to college, probably would have had a child of her own by now, and most likely would have had a job working with animals. She would have had horses. But Amber's life was gruesomely stolen by a known sex offender who was free to lurk in the shadows, planning his next attack, regardless if he warned professionals that he would attack again.
And I think that's one of the most frightening parts of this story.
Yeah, and you're not the only one to think this. So after John Gardner's conviction, the question on everyone's mind was, how did this happen again? This was a man with a deeply troubling past. As a child, he reportedly grew up with an abusive alcoholic father, and he was placed on psychiatric medication as early as age 6. And by age 10, he had been held in a psychiatric hospital for 60 days and labeled as seriously emotionally disturbed. In the year 2000, he was convicted of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl, his neighbor, and he served over 5 years in prison for the crime. After his release, he was monitored by a GPS ankle bracelet. Yet even while wearing it, he repeatedly violated the terms of his parole, including living too close to a school. And to note, according to GPS data, he was recorded spending time near multiple schools, standing in front of a daycare center, and also on prison grounds where he was suspected of delivering contraband to an inmate. He was also spotted in remote areas that would later become the discovery sites for Amber Dubois' remains. Despite all of these red flags blaring signs that something wasn't right, he was still released. His anklet was removed, and just 4 months later, Amber vanished. And when these details came out, it was infuriating. There were documented warnings from mental health professionals that Gardner was likely to offend again, and even called him a ticking time bomb. Yet somehow, because he was labeled low risk, no one followed through. He wasn't even properly tracked with GPS most of the time.
I mean, that failure cost Amber her life. It cost Chelsea hers, and it shattered two families and an entire community.
Yeah, it's extremely heartbreaking. In the aftermath, both families, especially the parents of two daughters who were murdered, channeled their grief into advocacy. They pushed for legislation that would strengthen monitoring of sex offenders and improve the handling of missing children cases. The Kings started Chelsea's Light Foundation, which helped pass Chelsea's Law, a California law aimed at increasing penalties for violent sex crimes against children and ensuring lifetime parole for offenders like Gardner. And Carrie, Amber's mom, founded Team Amber Rescue, an organization that works with trained dogs to help locate missing people. She dedicated her life to making sure no other family had to go through what she did. Today, Amber Dubois is remembered not just as a victim, but as a daughter, a best friend, and a bright, driven girl who loved animals and dreamed of becoming a marine biologist. Her life was full of potential, and everything changed in an instant, yet her story continues to impact lives. And we owe it to them to hold systems accountable, to learn, to change, and to allow the safety and security of a child to walk to school and to go for a run. They deserved safety. They deserved a future. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll include links to Amber's Memorial Foundation and Chelsea's Light in our episode notes. If you or someone you know is impacted by cases like these, we also list resources for grief support and victim advocacy. Also, I want to mention, if you have a case that you would like us to cover, please reach out to us, follow us on TikTok or Instagram. We use these platforms the most. Facebook is also an option, although it's not our first pick. Until next time, stay safe, spread peace, and take care of each other.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.